opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park is back open for exploration. See the West Coast Biennial Art Exhibition featuring diverse pieces by artists up and down the West Coast. Enjoy the Visible River Aquarium, Caverns Exhibits, Parrot Playhouse, and more. There's something for everyone to discover at Turtle Bay.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, retired United States Navy Seabees, two combat tours in Iraq, and I am your host this morning. We're going to have a great program, and I just want to let you know we've been moving forward with the Northern California Veterans Museum and our veterans programs with Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services and Battlefield Expressions PTSD Art Therapy. Last week, I was not here because we were beginning the classes for the new program with our veterans and our veterans' families. We had a really great turnout. We had a spattering across the board of Korean War veterans and Vietnam veterans and family members and Blue Star moms and children that were there to participate in the program and to be they received their art kits, and they went ahead and they started doing some of the art and doing some of the painting, just some of the initial break-in and exposure to the program. Some of these individuals, they already have a little bit of art experience, and some didn't have any, which is fantastic because now we're being able to offer the exposure of painting and to letting their hair down. They were laughing. They were enjoying themselves. They were having a good time. And I was just so pleased at the opportunity for us to invite our veterans families and our veterans into a program that is enlightening, that is positive, that is an opportunity for them to just enjoy themselves instead of having all this aurora of suffering or aurora of issues or things like that. Because it's when you're a veteran or you're a veteran's family member, a spouse or children, it's so easy to get caught up into the affairs of the aftermath of war. There's always the residue of situations, the residue of service, the residue of extreme stress and lack of sleep and memories and things like that. And as we worked with these family members and we worked with these different veterans, it was very enlightening and very encouraging to me that we have the opportunity here in our Northern California area to be able to reach out to our veterans that are in need, to be able to help family members that are dealing with stress or with crisis, and to be able to allow them to have an outlet to be able to relieve themselves of some of the stress. And so I would encourage you, as we move forward with this program runs until July 10th. So we started last week. It will run till July 10th. And once again, it is the Battlefield Expressions PTSD Art Therapy, the program that we offer out to any of our veterans. Like I said, we had one of our veterans that was there was a Korean War veteran, and then we had some Vietnam veterans, and then Global War on Terror veterans. We had a spattering all across the board of these individuals who came to be part of the program. And once again, the classes are there. It's every Saturday morning. There's classes that are going on right now this morning. They start at 10 a.m. at the old historic Cottonwood Firehouse, which is the museum restoration facility in Cottonwood. And first class will be 10 o'clock this morning, and the second one will be at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And there is no charge for your art supplies. There is no charge for the classes. You could just go ahead and show up and be a part of the program, and they'll go ahead and get you to fill out the paperwork, which verifies your service, and then go ahead and issue you your art supplies. And, you know, it's just you know, it was, I finally picked up a brush myself and I sat down and I was working with everybody because it's kind of tough sometimes when you're running a program. You don't always get a chance to sit down and be a part of the program. You're doing oversight. You're making sure that all the supplies are together, that people's needs are taken care of. And so I was able to sit down for a few minutes and put a few brush strokes on the canvas of where we were working and the things that we were doing. It was just a really great opportunity. I want to throw out a thank you to Pepsi of Northern California. They supplied the snacks and the sodas and the water for our program. So thank you to Danny and the crew over at Pepsi-Cola Northern California. They have supported the museum at multiple projects that we have, different events that we've had. When we were ready to send boxes overseas to the troops, they supplied different items and food items at Christmas time and then also to ship boxes overseas. They are viable in our community to help our veterans. And so we can never say thank you enough to certain organizations that are part of that. And once again, that was Pepsi-Cola of Northern California and Danny and the crew over there. So thank you to them. As we move forward with some of our other projects that are coming up here, they're going to be supporting us with that also. And, you know, it's what's really nice is to work with people in our community who are generous and who have a good attitude about being generous. Sometimes it's so difficult. People are reluctant to donate or support a program, or they donate, but they don't really want to donate. And you know what I ask? I ask that if you're going to donate to our veterans, that you donate with a cheerful heart. You don't know how important it is when a veteran comes to us with a need and we have the capability to reach out and support that veteran with whether it's food items, with helping veterans move from one location to another and they don't have the funding to help them with emergency services through either Homeward Bound or Silver Star Veterans and Widows. We worked with a couple of different widows this week that have needed support and services that some of them are ongoing where we try to help them on a regular basis with certain things. But for us to be able to have the resources to be able to do that is essential. And those resources come from individuals in our community or from businesses in our community who step up and gratefully give to the program. And so, once again, we want to say thank you to those different organizations. Tri-Counties Bank of Cottonwood, they step up and they support us through the Iron Soldier Ride. Reading Yamaha Sea-Doo with Steve McCarley and his gang up there, they do a fantastic job with the Iron Soldier Ride, raising funds for Homeward Bound, which pays for the food at Thanksgiving and at Christmas and helps with the shipping of boxes overseas. And we can't do it without support. The needs are there all the time. The needs are great. At sometimes it's a little quiet, and at other times it's inundating with the needs that are in our community. And as we continue to move forward with this COVID issue coming in and out and in and out, people don't know what's left and people don't know what's right, and I'm not sure exactly why our government seems to do that to us. It's to keep us off guard, off of toes, however you want to look at it. But in the meantime, we have needs. Our community has needs, and we are thankful that through the heritage portion of the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, that we are able to put together these programs to be able to reach out and to support our veterans in our community. And it doesn't matter if you're still a World War II veteran, because we're dealing with World War II widows now. We're still dealing with those. We have a couple of World War II veterans that are still alive in our community where we help support them also, and our Korean War veterans, and our Vietnam veterans who are getting up there in age, and even now our Iraqi veterans, Panama veterans, we are all getting up there in our ages. It just, time keeps going. The needs are still there. And sometimes as our veterans get older, the needs become more prevalent. And that's where our programs such as Silver Star Veterans and Silver Star Widows kicks in. And that's a program where we can help some of our senior veterans. If you're not aware of it, we're losing 557 Vietnam veterans a day. Let me repeat that, 557 Vietnam veterans a day. We're losing them to Agent Orange. We're losing them to their battle wounds. We're losing them to attrition because of the war that's finally catching up to them, or it's been catching up to them all along, and it's finally taken hold. And so we are preparing to, we are a a partnership with the commemoration of the Vietnam War, the 50th anniversary of the commemoration of the war, as the Northern California Veterans Museum. And we continue to help support our Vietnam veterans through this program also and to recognize them. One of our guests that we're going to have this morning is a Vietnam veteran who served here in our community after he came home. And so many times our veterans serve around the world in combat. They do their duty. And then they come back home quietly and they serve in our community and they do wonderful things. But they're not out there bragging about it. They're not out there pushing a great agenda. They're just there doing what they do best, and that's getting the job done. Living their life quietly and getting the job done. And so many times our veterans come back from the war and they don't want accolades. They don't want somebody patting them on the back. They just want to be able to be successful in what they do and to carry on with their life. So, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're talking about Trinidad's Espiritu Series No. 2. Crafted with tobaccos from Brazil and Nicaragua and wrapped in an Arapiraca leaf, Espiritu No. 2 produces a harmonious medium to full-bodied cigar with extraordinary zesty complexity and earthy notes. Come by the shop and pick up your Trinidad Espiritu No. 2 today, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
How can you get your vaccine? It's easy to get in line. Go to ShastaReady.org. Click Vaccinations and select the blue oval labeled Tell Me When It's My Turn. Complete the short survey and public health will contact you when they have an appointment available. It may take several weeks before you're contacted since vaccine supplies are still very limited. Learn more about COVID-19 at ShastaReady.org.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park is back open for exploration. See the West Coast Biennial Art Exhibition featuring diverse pieces by artists up and down the West Coast. Enjoy the visible river aquarium, caverns exhibits, parrot playhouse, and more. There's something for everyone to discover at Turtle Bay.
Wow.
Listening to Battlefield Expressions, and we are honoring our Vietnam veterans today, as we do every day, but we're part of the commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War. And if you don't know the dates of the Vietnam War, the dates of the Vietnam War were November 1st of 1955. That's when the advisors were sent in. And the estimated time of the end of the Vietnam War was April 30th of 1975. So 20-year span in Vietnam, and our Vietnam veterans who served during that time frame, whether they volunteered to serve or they were they were Shanghai, if they want to call it that. I know that there's many Vietnam veterans who served, who didn't want to serve during that time frame because there was so much controversy going on with the war. But I would like to just say thank you for your service to our Vietnam veterans. If you wore the uniform of our nation during that time frame, it was a very difficult time. I was a kid at that time. In 1975, I was 13 years old, so I never even had an opportunity to go at that time to serve during Vietnam. My brother was a Vietnam veteran. He served on the USS Coral Sea. He was an Amos III Aviation Medalsmith, third class petty officer, and he worked on F-4 Phantoms. And I loved my brother, and part of what we're doing with the Vietnam Veterans Program is also honoring his service to our nation and her service to our family and the heritage. My father served in the Navy during World War II as a gunner's mate on Liberty ships, and Tom served in Vietnam with the aircraft carrier USS Coral Sea, and I served in the Seabees. And then my oldest son served in the Marine Corps in Iraq right after I did. And so the tradition carries on as we move forward. We honor our veterans who have served. We want to make sure that we let them know that we have not forgotten, we're not going to forget, and we're going to continue to move forward. If you didn't know, March 29th of this month is the National Vietnam Veterans Day. It's our National Vietnam Veterans Remembrance Day, the day that we remember our Vietnam veterans and we honor them, those who served, and to make sure that they know that they are welcomed home and that they are not forgotten. And so if you are you see a veteran who's wearing a Vietnam hat, you know, just say thank you. How difficult is it for us to just say thank you? Men and women put their lives on the line all the time. Those men and women put their lives on the line during a very difficult part of our national history. The nation was upside down and backwards. They came home from a war that where they tried to serve and be honorable just like their fathers did during World War II and during Korea, and they were spit on, they were abused, got to a point where they didn't want to wear their uniform. They were ashamed to wear their uniform. And there was no reason for that. There was no excuse for that. Why in the world our society ever blamed the soldiers for something that President Johnson did, I'll never understand as I look back as a historian and as I look back as a veteran myself. More men and women died in Vietnam from the poor choices of President Johnson than did from the Viet Cong. President Johnson made so many bad and poor decisions during that time frame. And I would blame all of it, if you ask me, on the leadership of President Lyndon B. Johnson, as you go back and look at it. And it was not the men and women who wore the uniform. And there are atrocities in every war. Let me tell you, there were many atrocities since the very beginning, from the British in the Revolutionary War to the Civil War between the North and the South to the Korean War to World War II into Vietnam. But it seems like because of the media, once again, the media, where they highlight anything that they want to, what's according to their agenda, but not what's according to the truth. They never say thank you for the good things that are done. They never say thank you for the things that are done properly. But you make one mistake, and boy, they're all over that, and that's the only thing that matters. And that is wrong. I'll just be straight up and tell you, when the media steps out and pinpoints military personnel who make mistakes because they are human, the media is wrong. They're the first one to point the fingers, but they're the ones with the biggest 2x4 hanging out of their own eye. And it's just like we move forward with the media right now today. It's real easy for them to throw our military underneath the bus, to throw our nation underneath the bus and everything else and find fault with the last administration, everything else. And yet you look at the first 3 months of this new administration and you can see the destruction that they have already caused in our social structure, on our borders, trying to take our guns away and everything else. The things that men and women have already died for so that we can keep the freedoms that we have, this administration is not just throwing them under the bus. They're throwing them under the bulldozer, and they're crushing them with the tracks as fast as they can. Because it's not about what's right and about what's wrong. It's about an agenda. And that's exactly the same thing that took place during the Vietnam War. And so many things that our men and women served for, it was honorable to make those things happen in a right way. And yet, once again, Johnson and Cronkite, those individuals threw our American military personnel underneath the bus, especially Walter Cronkite when he said we were losing the war. People listened to Walter Cronkite from before World War II all the way through the Vietnam War. They trusted what he said, and when he violated our men and women by making his comments about, we've lost the war. We didn't lose a war. We're having difficulty with the battle that we were fighting. They won the battle after the fact. And then because of what he said, the rest of the media took it and ran with it. Because he was a quote-unquote good news source, and he was supposed to be responsible and respectable. But he threw our men and women underneath the bus, and then the regular media took it from there. And then a young society took it from there. And I think part of that young society with the issues that they had was because of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. They had put their hopes in Kennedy for a new generation. They were ready to step up. As Kennedy said, ask not what you can do for your country. Ask not what country can do for you. Ask what you can do for the country. And how far away are we from that right now in our own society? There is nobody out there in this next generation that's saying, hey, I want to be a part of something good. I want to do something. They all want to just take, and destroy. While all the rest of us who have served faithfully and served strongly to preserve the freedom, our colors of the flag, red, white, and blue, to make sure that we continue on with what we have had from the beginning of this nation, and so many of them right now that are in power are trying to tear it down and take away our basic freedoms, our basic necessities, our basic opportunities. And so I'm going to remind you again today as we honor our Vietnam veterans, to remember all of our veterans, but for us to say thank you for their service, for the men and women who served, and they came home and they were made to be ashamed of what they did, and they served their country. They came home broken. They came home worn out, just like the rest of us do when we come back from the combat zone. There's nothing like putting a fellow service member in a body bag. Nothing. And so when you serve and you have to put a fellow soldier or a Marine or a sailor in a body bag because they've lost their lives because of a battle or an enemy action, it brings a whole new concept of war and freedom and sacrifice to the table. And many will never, never know what that's like. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. Boy, was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Willing Hopping arrived in 1852 as a gold miner. He soon established and operated a butcher business at French Gulch until he was elected county sheriff. He then served from September 2, 1863 until 1867, and again he served from November 7, 1882 to 1892. In 1872, he was elected county judge and served until 1880. He was killed by an insane man in the Shasta Jail, who hit him on the head with a piece of firewood during his seventh term as sheriff on January 31, 1892. Hopping weighed a whopping 450 pounds and was gifted with musical talent. To find out more about Dottie Smith, go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most, and their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And we once again are honoring our Vietnam veterans to the 50th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War, or you could say the 71st anniversary of the beginning of the Vietnam War. Either way, we are saying thank you to our Vietnam veterans, whether it's men or women who served during that time frame. And we want to make sure that they know that we appreciate their service. I know that there's so much controversy out there still with men who served, that were drafted, to still hold a... They still hold pain from that. They still hold some anguish from that, and because they were forced to serve in something that they chose not to serve in, but they did anyway. And those that did serve and they didn't run away, I say thank you to you for wearing that uniform, even though it was a very difficult time in your life. Our guest this morning is a Vietnam veteran. Our guest is a captain, the United States Navy Captain Larry Farrell, who is actually everybody in town knows as Dr. Farrell. And good morning, doctor. I'm going to call you doctor because I know you as a doctor. I want to make sure that people know and that we honor your service as a naval captain and your service with the Marine Corps, serving with them as a doctor. I just want to say thank you for your service, for all of the service that you did, for the many years that you served, and for your service during Vietnam.
When I was in Marine Corps, I was a 03-01 and then an 03-02. I was an infantry officer. I wasn't a doctor yet.
Well, you went in as enlisted. That's correct.
Well, that was a different program. That was a program that I started in college at Fresno State. And they had, the Marine Corps then had a program called the Platoon Leader Class Program, PLC. And you could, instead of being in ROTC or NROTC, and having to wear a uniform, you did nothing during the academic year. And then in the summers, you went back to Quantico for 6 weeks, and they put you through the paces, right? That, and anybody can handle 6 weeks, right, Chief?
Right.
Senior
sure.
Chief?
Sure.
Yeah, sure, sure.
And, it doesn't feel like 6 weeks.
Oh, it was awful. And then you do a second summer, another 6 weeks. And if you're successful with your grade point average, and getting through the program, because you could quit at any point that you wanted to. In fact, by the time the 2 years are over, only one-third actually get commissioned. But if you make it through the first summer, you go from a private to a lance corporal. If you make it through the second summer, you go from a lance corporal E3 to an E4 corporal. And then when you graduate, if you're successful and the Marines decide to take you and everything's good, you're commissioned. So you wear your dress whites underneath that and you're commissioned a second lieutenant. And then you go back to that wonderful place called Quantico. A real paradise.
You probably had more power as a corporal than you did as a butter bar lieutenant.
Oh, God, yes. And then you go back and do 6 more months. And then you report to the fleet. And that's what happened with myself. That would be Camp Pendleton, 1st Marine Division. And as I'm reporting, I'm running into the CO of the Recon Battalion, 1st Reconnaissance Battalion. And so we get to talking, and he invites me to come back and join that battalion. And that's what I did. I became a Recon Platoon Leader. Charlie Company, 1st Platoon, Recon Platoon Leader. It was quite an adventurous time.
Yeah, you joined the Marine Corps in 1954?
No, 1957.
57.
After my football season, I played football and on the lightweight team and then finished up on the varsity and got in against Brigham Young as a freshman. And then concentrated on academics and going back with the Marine Corps. So that was a good time. Lots of things happened, and it was quite rewarding back there.
Well, one of the things we generally talk about when we have a veteran on, we know that somewhere in that veteran's life, before they joined the military, there was someone in their family that joined the military that kind of set an example for them. And I know that you had an uncle that served during World War II.
Yes, and two uncles. My father was 4F, but his brother, Bob Farrell, was going to a little school called Berkeley.
Way back when.
And graduated in 1940. And he was in the Army ROTC program. So Pearl Harbor happens, and all of a sudden he's active duty for the, well, already been for the first year. So he actually set up machine gun positions on the beach north of San Francisco because they thought the Japanese were going to invade the West Coast.
Right.
And then went back east and was a member of the 3rd Army Division. So this Army unit had more combat time than any other, including Marine Corps, combat time than the United States forces.
Wow.
He made 5 opposed landings. The first one was in North Africa, and that's where the Kasserine Pass happened.
Yes.
And we got our butts kicked big time. And then he made 2 landings in Sicily. And he was picked up about on the second landing by a reporter talking about, well, I never thought we'd be doing this again. And that was the second landing. And then Salerno. And
if you're not aware, these are in North Africa and in Italy, but we were fighting the Nazis at that time during World War II.
Yes, and then the last one was Anzio. But here is the example of what their sacrifice was. By the time he hit Anzio, it was only him and the first sergeant left of the original unit. They had something like 1,500 replacements.
Wow.
And a company or something. I mean, it was incredible.
And we were brand new at war. I mean, they were shipping guys better, faster than they were being trained.
And then Bob went up to pick up a wounded GI with an ambulance and all, and eventually got shot and did some heroic stuff and got the Silver Star and the Purple Heart and came back to the States. Now, my wife's brother, Eddie Marbot, was a bombardier on a B-17.
Wow.
And I was born in 1939, so I remember World War II. And I remember him being stationed at Hammer Field, about 10 miles out of Reading, out of Fresno, and him flying over the house, dipping his wings, and my mom would be out there in those World War II dresses, waving
right
at the B-17 as he would fly low over the house.
And that was quite an experience just at that time. I mean, that was the largest aircraft we had in the world at that time.
Yeah, before the B-22.
Right.
And 29. He went on, interesting enough, to decide that he wanted to. He was quite a skier and tall and good looking. And he went on to become vice president of Fresno State. And the president was also a B-17 pilot. And Fresno State was playing Oregon. And they took his father owned an airport. He bought a B-17.
Wow.
So all these B-17 guys got on the plane to watch the football game up in Oregon, including my uncle. And then when the game was over, Fresno State, I believe, won. They came back. They got to the airfield and had a huge fight because the weather was terrible. And Eddie didn't want to fly. And everybody else did, and they had a huge fight. And finally, Eddie relinquished, took the thing in the hand. They took off. The weather sucked. They turned around, came back, hit a tree, and all of them were killed.
Wow.
But Eddie was alive for a while because they had the people went up there and stole their wallets and all, but nobody touched Eddie, and he was crawling when they found his body.
Wow.
But there was a dog guarding him that wouldn't let anybody touch him. So that was 1947.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah, terrible.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest is Dr. Farrell. We'll be right back.
Pulse Urgent Care at 100 East Cypress Avenue would like to thank you for your support during 2020. Pulse is happy to announce they are reopening their urgent care services and are accepting patients by appointment only between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on weekdays and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturdays. Pulse follows public health guidelines. Masks are required along with social distancing. Please call ahead at 530-722-1111 for a screening, appointment, and further information.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, he's blown his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could die. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I've let you down, so many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I think of you. Every song I sing, I'll sing for you. When I come back, I'll bring your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions and John Dever and I'm leaving on a jet plane. And I can remember as a kid listening to that song, and my brother was gone to Vietnam, gone into the Navy to during the Vietnam War. And that song is an icon when it comes in my memory to thinking back about the about Vietnam and the different things that took place during that time. I can remember watching the war on TV in color and being just scared to death for my brother, just scared to death. In fact, I had such a difficult time as a kid while he was gone in boot camp that they actually called the Navy at the recruit at the boot camp and had him call home because I was so upset. And so crazy time.
Yeah.
I still reflect back on that time with my brother, and it still can become emotional.
Yeah. We had one other relative brother from my mom, Louis Marbot, and he was in the Army and ended up on Okinawa in the latter part and ended up capturing a Japanese soldier and then got out and worked with a telephone company up in the Washington. And started out as a lineman and ended up as an executive one day. And then, unfortunately, they had a electrical crisis storm up there. And he took off his coat and tie and went out in the field and was on a pole, of all things, and had a medical heart attack and died on the pole.
Wow. Imagine that.
Imagine that. He was like 6'6". He was great.
Well, it's you know, once it's in your blood to do certain things, it just never leaves. And, boy, you know, men of leadership, they step right up to the plate, and they take off the ties, and they roll up their sleeves, and they get the job done right to the last second, right to the last minute. And so, you know, our men and women who serve in the military come back to the United States with a whole totally different perspective. They've seen so much war and hate and killing and everything else that when they come back, they want to build things. They want things to be in a better way. They want to make life better in their community and with their home and everything else instead of living the tragedy of what war does. And so you had the influence of your family who gave you that heritage of being in the military. So what was it like when you went ahead and joined the Corps and went to boot camp?
I'll tell you one story. Quantico is very hot and humid. It's 90 sometimes, and or even a little bit hotter, but the humidity is in the summer is a killer, and we were back there in the summer. It wasn't my unit, but one of the units, we had something called the Hill Trail out of Camp Upshur. You know, you flew into Washington, D.C. National Airport, and then they waited you around, and here you are in coat and ties and all. Then they march you out to the bus, and they fix it so that you get finally at Camp Upshur, which is way in the hell and gone to Nowhereville, so that it's around midnight.
Right.
11 o'clock, midnight. And then all this little boy blue, get over here, and all that stuff starts up, you know. And
those yellow footsteps.
Yeah, and and they issue your uniforms and all. But one of the interesting things for me was in the reconnaissance battalion at, that I joined. That was a very interesting thing. We would land in rubber boats off the beach surreptitiously. No heavy gear. Not even sleeping bags. And we would use, sometimes we would use rice, a lot of times, rice and raisins because they're light, and apricots, dried apricots. But you can go on a long time like that. And the Chinese did very well with rice.
Yes.
You know. And that was
an experience. And the Vietnamese.
Yeah. And then when we would go in 3 to 5 days ahead of the fleet or the landings, or real landings, and do our recon stuff. And then use CW, which is Morse code, and set up these big antennas to radio out to the fleet. And we very light, so we didn't carry, you couldn't carry very much. You couldn't carry a lot of, we're light, we have to move, so we wouldn't carry much ammo or anything if you really got in a firefight. later on in recon, they brought out a sub, the USS Perch. And I had the honor of being the first out of mothballs.
World War II.
I don't know if it might have been. Anyway, yes, it's an older sub, but they took out the fore and aft torpedo rooms and put hammocks in there. For example, I ended up in the forward torpedo room, and there were about five guys above me, and I couldn't turn over without hitting the guy's butt.
Oh, yeah, they were tight.
It was very tight. And the first thing they did, okay, so we go out with the rubber boats, get on the boat. They have to tie them down and all. And the first thing they did was make you stand in front of the head and showed you how to go to the John. Well, there was three different valves, like red, green, and blue. And if you did it right, turning the valves in the right order, you flushed the toilet. If you did it wrong, one of two things would happen, Senior Chief. One, everything would come up and hit you in the face out of the bowl. Or this was shocking. That boat could take on the water, and they call a sub a boat, not a ship.
Correct.
And it takes on the water, you could sink.
Because the valve was
left
open.
Watch officer wouldn't know that, you know. So that got your attention.
You better be listening. You better be paying attention, or it literally hits the fan.
Yeah. And then this mission we were going to do that night was we were going to paddle in, and I was going to blow up a radar station. So, you know, you come off the sub, you put the boats in line, and then on the aft boats I would launch my swimmer, my recon swimmer. He would swim ashore and then come back out with infrared light that it was okay. Then I'd take the machine gun and send the two machine guns and send him ashore to set up machine gun position. Then the rest of us would go ashore. We then transitioned to the objective at night and lined up everybody, took the gunny up there, and we reconned the position and then lined up and took it and came back to our boats and took off.
So the submarine had to be submerged at that time. So
it went out to the
far,
ocean.
How far were you from the shoreline when you left the submarine for the shoreline?
We probably paddled in a couple of miles or something like that.
A couple of miles, yeah.
But the fun part was the way they picked us up, because they submerged when they picked us up. They never did. So you want to come back to that maybe?
Yes, we'll come back to that. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest again is Dr. Larry Farrell, and we're listening to his great stories, his service during Vietnam with the Marine Corps, and then also we'll be talking a little bit more about his service as a doctor with the Navy. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
I'm just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Commercial air travel appears to be on the upswing despite the coronavirus pandemic. The U.S. Transportation Security Administration says its agents screened more than 1.3 million passengers at airport security checkpoints nationwide as of Friday. That's the most since March 15th of last year. Washington State Governor Jay Inslee says kids need to be back in the classroom.
There is now, unfortunately, undeniably a mental health care crisis in our state regarding our youth.
Inslee says all public schools in the state will have to offer in-person learning as an option before the end of April. Parts of the Rockies and High Plains bracing for a big snowstorm over the weekend. Colorado Governor Jared Polis urging people to stay off the roads if they can.
You don't want to be one of those people that might have to be searched, found, and rescued. Much better
to, as if the snow starts coming down hard in your area, stay at home and not go out and not venture far in your vehicle.
Forecasters say several feet of snow could snarl traffic, damage trees, and knock out power. Senator Tom Cotton is calling for the relocation of the 2020 Olympics away from China. He told the Salem Radio Network this week there's still time to find a new venue.
I hope that the IOC will listen to our calls and take action. Again, these are the Winter Olympics, not the Summer Olympics. The Winter Olympics are a much smaller affair, and therefore it's much less complicated to try to move them on relatively short notice.
Cotton is condemning China for its suppression of democracy in Hong Kong and persecuting religious minorities. First-term U.S. Senator Bill Hagerty says research indicates Americans are growingly concerned about the threats posed by China. Not only Republicans.
But also a large number of Democrats are moving the same direction. Not quite as strong, but I think the nation is waking up to the fact that China is more than a competitor. It's become an adversary.
Senator Hagerty was interviewed this week by the Salem Radio Network. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In 1901, a woman by the name of Annie Taylor climbed into a barrel so that she could ride that barrel over Niagara Falls, the first person to do so. The reason for her crazy endeavor? She was struggling to make ends meet, and she was hoping for fame and financial security. It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage, a faith and family mortgage team that tries to improve your financial outlook without having to ship you over a 170-foot waterfall. Our mortgage team happens to be an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This advantage often allows us to get you a better rate, which can save you monthly and lifelong money through a refinance, or help you with a cash-out refinance, cashing out some of your home's equity to use for life. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Neville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1335. Rack animalist number 65233. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
A prominent sports gambler faces up to 5 years in prison after pleading guilty to threatening Tampa Bay Rays player.
The Department of Justice announced that Benjamin Patz of Napa, California, pleaded guilty Wednesday to transmitting a threat in interstate commerce. Patz, also known as Parlay Patz, sent threatening direct messages on Instagram to four members of the Rays while they played a home game against the Chicago White Sox on July 20, 2019, according to a plea deal announced Wednesday. In addition to up to 5 years in prison, Patz faces a maximum $250,000 fine and 3 years of supervised release. Bernie Bennett reporting.
More than 5,000 responses have come into a panel planning a permanent memorial to the 2017 shooting on the Las Vegas Strip that became the deadliest in modern U.S. history. County officials say an online questionnaire about the massacre has drawn responses from several states. Officials want to identify a location, size, and funding source. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Australia has suspended defense cooperation with Myanmar and is redirecting humanitarian aid because of the military coup and the detention of an Australian citizen. Here's correspondent Jeremy House.
Foreign Minister Maurice Payne says Australian diplomats only had access to economic policy advisor Sean Turnell twice since he was detained in early February. The defense training program being suspended already had been restricted to non-combat areas such as English language training. Australian humanitarian aid will be directed away from Myanmar government and government-related entities.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. The head of Germany's cybersecurity agency is warning IT systems administrators to swiftly patch known holes in Microsoft Exchange servers or take those systems offline amid concerns of an imminent wave of ransomware attacks. And they said on Twitter it is going to be expected that cyber criminals will carry out an automated attack. More details at townhall.com.
Hello, I'm Chris Christopherson. On November 8, 1965, the 173rd Airborne Brigade on Operation Hump, War Zone D in Vietnam, were ambushed by over 1,200 VC. 48 American soldiers lost their lives. Severely wounded and risking his own life, Lawrence Joel, a medic, was the first living black man since the Spanish-American War to receive the United States Medal of Honor. Saving so many lives in the midst of battle that day. Our friend Niles Harris, retired 25 years United States Army, the guy who gave Big Kenny his top hat, was one of the wounded who lived. This song is his story. Caught in the action of kill or be killed, greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his brother.
Listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest this morning is Dr. Farrell, United States Captain, Naval Captain, and we are talking about his experience with the first recon and doing some recon with the SS Perch, the submarine that they were doing recon with. And so continue on from there, Doctor, and let us know a little bit more about that experience.
Well, the Marines were all new to this, and the Perch obviously was. It had been mothballs for years. So the Navy crew is also. So the way that they were going to pick us up is we were after like 3 a.m, we paddle out there. I said 2 miles. Maybe it was deep, further than that, because the sub was sitting out there with its periscope watching us, and we would flash from our end. We would tie all the boats together in a long line, and then with infrared, send it out to the sub. The sub then would come in with its periscope up, not the surface. And so you hear nothing for a while. You're just sitting there, and all of a sudden you start hearing, and it gets louder and louder. You know, it's kind of scary. And then, boom, it hits us. It seems like to us it's going 60 miles an hour. Hits our middle boat dead center, knocks 2 guys in the water, and then it takes a big U-turn, dragging us behind it. And then those two, then the two sides come together and go wham, you know. And again, it seems like you're really, really going fast. And he tows us out to sea for quite a ways. I don't know, 10, 15 miles. If you're playing it for real, you'd want to be out of artillery range.
Correct.
Or motor range for sure. And surfaces.
And you picked up those other two guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the other two guys, yeah. As our M boats come together, they reach out and grab them. Like, again, it's pitch dark. And drag them into the boats. So, and then they surface. This is the next experiment. So we're going to get in and get out fast, right? So we put the rubber boats on there, and the Marines, we got below, and the Navy's going like hell trying to tie them down somehow with all these boats. And then they submerge very quickly. And so then we go out to sea for quite a while, a few hours, and we surface. Guess what? The boats are all gone, every one of them. So that was a learning curve.
Well, I don't know how they could have expected them to still be there after that. I mean,
right. Yeah.
That's just crazy. And you only had limited resources, I'm sure. Those boats were gone forever.
Yeah. That was one experience, too.
Well, it's not just a job. It's an adventure, right? And that's an understatement, let me tell you. But it's an experience of a lifetime. There's so many things that we did in the Seabees, working with the Marine Corps where we were at. There's still only two organizations that work with the Marine Corps. It's the Naval Medical Units, and it's the Navy Seabees. Those are the only two that serve with the Marine Corps, and those are the only two units that are available to get their Fleet Marine Force War certification. And I was fortunate enough to get my Fleet Marine Force, my FMF, when I was in Iraq serving with the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force. And I wouldn't trade that for anything. That was just an experience of a lifetime.
Later, I was to be deployed quickly. We worked for an infantry battalion to be mobilized, and we were on call with that battalion. This is around the Cuban Missile Crisis time.
So you weren't in just during Vietnam. You were in during the Cold War time frame.
Well, 62. I was in 59, 60, and then 61 through 64. So on this thing, the Cuban, I was on, I had the ready platoon, the ready recon platoon of like 36 to go with the ready Marine Corps battalion for deployment, rapid deployment.
Right.
And I'm out, I think I'm deer hunting or something, outside of Camp Pendleton. I'm way out in the boonies, but they got the radio on. And I hear all Marines report to your base. This is real. And so that was the first start of this co-op. But what happened was, by the time we got deployed, the ready battalion with the ready platoon, I had just gotten off on Wednesday, and my roommate Lieutenant Jennings took it over, and Jennings was a half Mexican, half black, and he had gone to but spoke Spanish fluently. And he had gone to UDT school.
Underwater demolition team.
Yep. And I had become scuba qualified, but not through UDT. But so he had gone, and he had taken it over Wednesday. Well, the call-up was Friday. So they called him up. They drove him down to the Marine Air Base down there.
Baptism by fire.
At El Toro. And that was going to be, aha, everybody's laughing, you know. And then the story was they gave him weapons and all, and they never came back. I never saw him again for years.
Wow.
And they deployed. Okay. And Fernand, because he was UDT trained, and I had on my platoon, I had this really great corporal from Kansas that was a super kid. Rancher.
We're going to pick up that story in just a minute. We're going to take a break and be right back. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your local neighborhood health food store. We are dedicated to the healthy lifestyle, and we strive for a high standard to carry organic, GMO-free, and clean, healthy products.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
We have certified nutritionists on staff that take pride in helping you. Supporting local, we are all in it together. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Zip on over to Drip, now open at 2766 Falls Ferry Road in Anderson, next to Anytime Fitness. Drip features healthy and delicious drinks and shakes. Drip offers energy teas packed with antioxidants, delicious full meal replacement shakes, coffee loaded with protein, power oats, energy drinks, and so much more. Drip is open Monday through Friday from 7 to 7 and weekends 8 to 4. Stop by today, 2766 Falls Ferry Road in Anderson. Zip on over to Drip.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
Tour behind him, and all his hopes ahead. A pride that beat with his young heart for all the things he did. As he stepped off the airplane, he stooped and kissed the ground. He traded a war on foreign soil for one in his hometown. There was no love for the soldier limping back home from the fight. That old flag was stitched with more than blue and white, but we turned. Hit his wounds from battle, so so others didn't know. But he couldn't hide the damage of their scars upon his soul. There was no love for the soldier living back home from the fight. That old flag was stitched with more than blue and white, but we turned our eyes when the eagle cried.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And our guest again this morning is Dr. Larry Farrell, who is a Marine Corps lieutenant and then also a Navy captain as a doctor. And we're talking about his service during the Cold War, right before he went to Vietnam. And good morning again, Dr. Farrell. Thank you for being here with us this morning.
You're welcome. So we're talking about the recon battalion and all of a sudden the ball's going up on the Cuban Missile Crisis. And so, and I told you Fernand, Lieutenant, my roommate's background, and he's taken over. And I'm being TAD to another unit and running the grenade range and the machine gun range and stuff with the senior recruits. And so I go to the Oak Club because on Friday, in those days, everybody in the unit, even the Mormons, we'd go to the Oak Club and socialize slightly. And it was more informal and you'd take your pack off. So I go there and Fernand and I are in the same house. And I go, where's Fernand? He said, oh, you didn't hear? They called up the ready recon platoon. And I said, what? Yeah. And the battalion. And they, guess what? They gave him, a slight briefing, put them on the aircraft, and flew them away. They're back in the East Coast somewhere. And we didn't see each other for years after that. But then I come to find out that Fernand, when he got there, because he spoke Spanish and was UDT trained, was going to be parachuted in to link up with the guerrillas, and he was going to jump for the first time for real. They were going to have no practice jumps, no nothing.
Either you have a dozen practice jumps. I mean, your first practice jump could be as dangerous as your 10th throw.
Well, those are low level, you know. Anyway, but they did perform, most people don't know this, a hydrographic survey and actually landed on Cuba. So he landed on Cuba with his river boats and all, and the corporal was holding the drag line that they drag out towards the ocean, and you go down the line where there's knots, and you dive down and record the depth. You also take sand samples so they can determine whether it's going to support vehicles, track with
landing vehicles,
that the sand will hold. So they're doing this in the middle of the night. And along comes a guard with a German Shepherd. And my corporal, this kid from Kansas, farm boy, ends up with his knife killing both of them. They leave the beach with the rubber boats and take the bodies out with them. But that's how close things came. And then, you know, Senior Chief, did you hear all this? The Russian commander in Cuba had nuclear weapon authorization. And that, I mean, things could have really been terrible.
Everything was so tight in that time. I mean, it was literally second by second.
But they weren't going to go back to Moscow for authorization.
They were just going to do it.
He could have done it if he wanted to.
Right.
But that's how close things came to actually having a landing with a president that I greatly admired, Jack Kennedy.
Brezhnev at that time.
Yeah, and that was Kennedy.
Yes, Brezhnev and Kennedy. And then, so right after that, when you got your orders to deploy to Vietnam?
Well, no, I got order. Well, hell, I'm a recon guy, and I want to go to Okinawa, be part of the grunts over there, right? And I got orders to the 1st Marine Air Wing at Iwakuni, Japan. And so I'm not happy, right? So I get there, and they don't know what to do with a recon guy. So they end up making me the combat intelligence officer of the 1st Marine Air Wing. And overnight, I'm briefing a two-star general named Theron. Now, General Theron was a young lieutenant on a little place called Wake Island in World War II. And he and one other guy helped sink a Japanese cruiser.
Wow.
Wake Island fought for 23 days. They got down to where they only had four planes. And they kept repairing them as they got the crap shot out of
right.
them.
Right. It was actually right there during Pearl Harbor.
Right.
December
they lasted for 23 days. And here's this young lieutenant who survives all this. And the Japanese finally make a landing on some part of Wake, and apparently it's not going well for them. But they lost all their landlines, so that the CO of running the war for the Marines didn't even know it. Anyway, they end up Japanese conquering Wake Island.
Right.
General Theron, Lieutenant Theron is put on a ship and taken to the Malaysia. Taken to Malaysia first.
As a prisoner of war of the Japanese.
Oh, yeah, they're all prisoners of war. They're just put in the holds and taken there. And then later, he's put in another freighter and taken to Japan.
The ghost ships.
Yes, but here's the problem. Our subs are shooting, are torpedoing these freighters.
That's right, because they never put a Red Cross on them to let them know that
no,
they're POWs.
They're full of Marines and British.
Yes.
Okay? So a number of these freighters, and they locked them in the hold, they were gone.
They just sunk with the ship.
Yeah. So anyway, Theron makes it to Japan, and he's there as a POW for the whole bloody war, so 1941 to 45. And then there's another gentleman there that I worked for, Lieutenant Colonel Golf Schwank, who later became a three-star. So I was so fortunate in the leadership people that I had with me. They were terrific, and so much was happening. So overnight, I'm briefing, and we've got things like, and it's all real. The Russians are overflying us with their Badgers. We're scrambling our Phantoms along with the Air Force, intercepting them. There's like 500 Marines in Vietnam now, and 12,000 Americans altogether in Vietnam. 500, one Marine squadron. And so Schwank sets it up for me to go to Vietnam with the squadron there and see them, and then works with the Army Special Forces Major for me to do some time with the Army Green Berets. They had a 12-man unit there. And so I end up with this Army Special Forces unit, and it's Tri-Mi, and it has 150 mountain yards and 150 South Vietnamese. The language, incidentally, is mostly French.
Of course, yes.
Of course. And I had my 2 years of French, but anyway, we'll come back to that.
So your French did help you a little bit?
A little bit.
but not enough, especially working with the Vietnamese.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. We went on patrol, and I'll fill you in when we come back, I guess. Huh?
All right. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest again, Dr. Larry Farrell, Marine Corps and Navy captain. And we're talking about his Vietnam experience and service for our nation. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, featuring Armstrong and Getty, both smart and funny. Plus, you will hear Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro. And don't miss our local programming right here on KCNR. Zip on over to Drip, now open at 2766 Falls Ferry Road in Anderson, next to Anytime Fitness. Drip features healthy and delicious drinks and shakes. Drip offers energy teas packed with antioxidants, delicious full meal replacement shakes, coffee loaded with protein, power oats, energy drinks, and so much more. Drip is open Monday through Friday from 7 to 7 and weekends 8 to 4. Stop by today, 2766 Balls Ferry Road in Anderson. Zip on over to Drip.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator, coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across some Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. It's growing time for the trees of heavenly light. They are also known as Chinese locust trees, trees of heaven, China sumac. They are native to China but are found in many places in Shasta County, especially the areas of the 1849 gold rush where the Chinese lived and mined. Archaeologists believe seeds of the trees were innocently brought here by the Chinese miners in their hats and mats. Once they got hold, they multiplied and multiplied. They have a good root system. It's hard to stop because it sends out runners in every direction. The young shoots look like giant asparagus, but quickly put out leaves. The young trees have an odor that many find offensive. These trees can be found by the thousands in the town of Shasta throughout the gold mining districts and in many places where you wouldn't expect them. This moment in history was brought to you by KCNR and Shasta County historian Dottie Smith. For more stories like this or exciting books by Dottie, find Dottie Smith on Amazon Books or go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Thank you.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. And once again, we are talking with Dr. Larry Farrell, who was a Marine lieutenant during the time that he was at Vietnam. And we're just talking about his experience of him just getting there and sharing that part of his life.
Yes. Incidentally, my name was William Farrell, William Lawrence Farrell. My father was Bill, so they called me Larry. But my dear son, who's 6'5", living in, one of my sons, who's 6'5", and living in San Diego, is William Shane Farrell. And Mom and I call him Shane. But God bless him, he's in sales, so you know what he calls himself, right? Will Farrell.
There you go. Well, I know that I've called you Bill before, and I've called you Larry, you Captain. So no. There's several different names and different titles that you carry.
My friends call me Larry, but on the stationery, I'm always William L. Anyway, so I get there, and one of the first things they do is they open the wall locker. And they say, what do you want to carry? Well, anybody who's been in the service, you know, drawing a weapon's a big deal. And they got a whole raw locker full of M3A1 grease guns, M1 carbines, M1 Grand, all sorts of shotguns, and I could take anything I want. Well, because the jungle's so thick around there, I wanted something short because you'd never get a long shot hardly.
Right.
So I took the World War II M1 folded steel stock carbine.
M1A2, yeah. Fully automatic. Yeah.
No, this one was semi.
Was that semi?
Yeah. This one, it was semi-automatic. The Vic Vickery, who I'm going to talk about a lot here in just a minute, carried an M2 fully automatic carbine. So you could take anything you want. But it was just so nice to be dealing with that. And then the funny story was after I had to do the guard duty around the perimeter, right, with the checking on the machine gun positions. It's like an Indian fort. There's a trench between each position. I'd go down that and did the guard duty for 2 hours or so. And then I got back to the little hut we were living in, and it's just hotter than heck. And I'm sweating like a pig. And I get in my rack, and that might have been 1 a.m. or 2 or something. And I take the weapon, I put a magazine in, but not around in the chamber, and I've got it right next to me. And I'm naked because it's so hot. Well, all of a sudden, right out the door, I hear boom, 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 and motors are firing, and I grab my weapon, and I start running down this dusty trail, and everybody's running all over the place, and I jump into the motor pit. But the funny thing is I'm absolutely naked, except for that one car.
The reality of war, the good and the bad.
Later, I go over to the mountain yard area that was separate from the base and see them and go through there. And they had crossbows and all. They are very short in stature, but excellent fighters. In fact, I got a picture here that looks like little guys, little kids, 7 or 9. Those are late teenagers. And we set up a patrol with the leader being the XO of the Marine Special Forces Unit, Vic Vickery. He's a first lieutenant. I'm a first lieutenant. With another sergeant and 15 mountain yards and 15 South Vietnamese and our interpreter, who had already been shot twice by that time. And as we go out, I don't know, 4 or 5 miles out the gate, and we keep going into the jungle and coming back to the river. There's a river flowing, and each time. And I'm in the back with the sergeant of the patrol. 15 mountain yards, 15 South Vietnamese, and Lieutenant Vic Vickery up front. And they referred to them as yards instead of mountain yards. So each time we hit the creek, I see this old man, same old man with the hat and his pole. And I'm going, That's strange. We wrote, and I say, he's marking us. I mean, I'm thinking that.
Right.
And then we go. Then we wade the creek way after 10 miles or whatever, and come about back to the other side as we're coming back. And then we're crossing. Now we're going to cross the creek again, and I see that bloody guy there, and I'm following up last with the sergeant. And just as I'm getting in the water, doing one of those things with your weapon over your head,
right,
feeling naked. Feeling very naked, a shot rings out, and I couldn't even tell where. I know where. Basically, it came from over there, but I don't know where the position is. We get back, and Vic's talking about, I think we just got hit a little bit, and end up coming back to the base. The Vickery. Let me tell you about Vic Vickery. We became friends. His wife's in medicine, he goes on to deploys to Vietnam like 5 times. He gets shot 5 times. He's got 2 silver stars, 5 bronze stars, and 29 air medals. He's a super guy.
Survivor, hero.
Survivor, but of that 12-man team, only 3 are still alive. And working as a combat intelligence officer and then going to Vietnam. And when I got orders to Vietnam, I had applied to medical and dental school. I had a secretary, so I had some help. And I had finished applications for 12 to 15 dental and medical schools. Just before I left, I said, I better send. So I sent 3. Only 3. And I was going to send the rest later. So I sent University of Maryland, Georgetown, and University Pacific School of Dentistry in California. Only one in California. So when I get back, I'm thinking about staying in the Marine Corps. I'm so impressed with what we're doing there in Kennedy. I'm a big fan of Kennedy. And but I get a letter back from the University of Maryland accepting me. So I sent my $200 in. $200 back in 1963 is not cheap. Yeah. And then lo and behold, I picked the University of Maryland because it was supposedly easier getting in. But not Georgetown. And I get accepted. And then I get another letter being accepted to Georgetown. And which I'm delighted. And I sent another $200 in. And then last of all, it was University of Pacific in California. So I never sent out the medical school applications or the rest. I've never sent them out. And at the end of my service there, I was discharged at Treasure Island.
I spent time at Treasure Island.
Yeah. And
which is no longer.
Yes, yeah, it's gone.
It's a shame.
And went back to construction in Fresno. I worked as we used to frame 2 houses a day. And when I was going to school, I worked with them and I remember I couldn't get the job because they said, "Yeah, you college kid don't know how to work." And I told this guy I'd work 2 weeks for nothing. If he didn't like me, he didn't have to hire me. So he changed his mind.
He couldn't pass that up.
So anyway, so I got that job back and worked the summer. And then and September went back to dental school for the first time.
Well, we're talking with Dr. Farrell, and we just returned back from Vietnam and his story. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll find out a little bit more about his career right here in our community. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Get them home, boys. All I ever wanted to do was fly, leave this world and live in the sky. I let the C-130 out of Fort Worth town. I go up some days, I don't want to come down. Well, I fly that plane, call the angel flight. Come on, brother, you're with me tonight. Between heaven and earth, you're never alone on the angel flight. Come on, brother, I'm taking you home.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest this morning, Dr. Larry Farrell, and former Marine, United States Navy captain, dentist, local dentist in our community, a mainstay in our community as a doctor, taking care of so many, 52 years as a dentist here in our community.
Yes.
And just retired. He's semi-retired, working just a couple of days as he's getting
looking
ready
for
to...
Dr. Dami now, who bought the practice. Hello, Dr. Dami.
And so you are a prime example of someone who's gone and served their country and served their community, and you've been right here as a mainstay, a leader in our community. I've known you for several years, for quite a few years since I came back from Iraq, and so knowing you as a naval officer, as a leader in the community and things like that, you know, you're a mentor in the community for individuals like myself who retired after that fact, And then also for those in the community, you have your son that's serving in the Marine Corps right now as an Osprey pilot.
Absolutely.
And and we want to do a shout-out to him and say thank you to him for his service. I guess he's headed to Okinawa to be deployed here shortly.
Yes.
And so currently serving our nation, he's following his father's example as a leader in his own family and then also as a leader for our nation in Marine Corps and the Navy. And I just a shout out to your family, to your wife, and to, you have five kids, three boys and two daughters.
Yes.
And it's
I'd like to shout out to all of them. I'd like to say hello, Hillary. How are you in Colorado? And Molly, up in San Jose, who is now working for Apple and doing rather well. And Bruce, my star athlete, who got a full-ride football scholarship to Cal Poly and
wonderful.
Is a wonderful dentist also.
Literally following dad's steps.
Yeah. And Sean, the Osprey pilot, has just been selected for major and is on a three-year deployment to Okinawa.
Wow.
Or about to. It's maybe going to be delayed for some medical reasons for one of the children, but he's going to be leaving, if not in June, then in September.
So you've got a full basket going, and then in the meantime, you're getting ready to retire and spend a little time maybe fishing or doing something a little different than being at the chair every single day looking in people's mouths.
What a true. One of the interesting benefits of actually being in the service and the reserves this whole time, 27 and a half years.
Thank you for that service.
Thank you. Was that I could do things that I ordinarily wouldn't do. For example, I had friends in Washington, D.C. from all those years back there in Quantico and all. I wanted to see them, and I couldn't. But if I had orders, I could go, right, or space available. And so I found a forensic dental course in Washington, D.C., and I signed up to take it. And I really didn't have that much interest in it, but it was Washington, D.C., and
sure.
I heard if I could fly free, right? So I went back there, and I'm taking this one-week course, and I hear a guy named Dr. Lowell Levine, who ended up helping identify like Hitler and people like this.
Is right.
Very well known out of New York. And he hooks me with a mafia hit job case he's talking about. And this guy is found in the trunk of a car. He has no teeth. They've been smashed. He's had his arms and feet cut off and set on fire and bludgeoned his whole mouth, okay? Well, Levine gets in the trunk of this car with all this burned cargo stuff and with a spaghetti strainer strains through this awful, awful stuff and finds bits and pieces of teeth that he puts together.
He rebuilds it.
He rebuilds them. And you know what he finds? He finds that two teeth have no crowns on them. They're like prep for crowns. And he finally figures out the locations of all these teeth, and he realizes that's a three-unit bridge. Then he finds his little piece of burnt plastic, and he knows those are temporaries. Aha, he says. These were in the temporaries, and there's somewhere a dentist that hasn't been paid for the three-unit bridge or the case that's never been delivered. He puts out advertisements over and ends up identifying this victim of the mafia.
Wow.
Well, they never catch the killer, but they identified that impossible body with a spaghetti strainer and his dillet. So he hooked me. So I started getting into forensic odontology, it's called. And after 4 or 5 years, I took my boards, and I was number 36. It's not a very big group. Number 36, they brought in grandfathered people that were like 30 or so. So I took the first exam in Florida. And I'm working in downtown Florida, and I go back early because a lot of these guys work for universities. So they don't have patience. They don't have to do this stuff.
Sure.
You know? But I'm a wet finger dentist, so I couldn't study as much as I. So I was going to fly back early and study. Well, then the airlines lost all my luggage and my and all the stuff I had to study. So I'm sitting in a bar down there saying, I guess nothing I can do. And I end up taking my boards and it finally shows up, but I didn't get the 2 or 3 days I wanted. But one of the things we're doing is that we have to take this exam on actual cases. Oh, the first case that I do, I'm watching the TV, and there's a pilot that's with his girlfriend, and he's doing acrobatics, and he crashes. And after one of my friends at cases was the PSA plane crash in San Diego with 154 people.
Wow.
So
Well, my hat's off to you because it takes a special individual to do any type of forensic work to begin with. Wow. And so, you are a rare breed with doing that and that particular service to the community and to our nation.
Well, the case that I'm doing my boards on, the reason I wanted to mention it, was Ted Bundy.
Wow.
It was a picture of a wound on a body, and part of the boards was that you were to examine that and come up with a conclusion or not. And then after the test, I found out it was Ted Bundy, who was quite
infamous.
Well, no, yeah, infamous. Yeah. And then doing these other forensic cases, there was the PSA plane crash. There was the Daryl Rich, who was a serial murder case, well known here in Redding. And then there was a little baby, about 18 months, maybe 15 months old. And it was at Mercy Memorial Hospital. And then the cops didn't call me. The nurses did. And then the police got involved. But it's a baby, 15 months old. It has burns on its face and nose. The baby is alive, but has been strangled. And they brought her into the room not with a beating heart. Around her pubic area, she's burned with what appears to be a curling iron.
Oh, my goodness.
Just as a 15-month-old baby. Yes. And then it has bite marks all over its arm. There's only two suspects, mom and the boyfriend. We ended up using, with the help of Shasta Regional Hospital Memorial, they let me use the GE technician on the CAT scanner. And so we used the CAT scanner for the first time in bite mark analysis. And
wow.
And we were able to identify that was the boyfriend.
Wow.
Using CAT scanner. So that was very rewarding.
Well, thank you for
and
doing that.
The daughter was alive, but they didn't know. She was blind, so they didn't know if the vision was going to come back. Isn't that awful?
It's just amazing things that take place in our community that we don't know about, or even the cruelty that what people have. But thank you. I wanted to say thank you again for your service. Thank you to our community for all your years of service as a dentist here. Thank you for your service as a Navy captain serving the United States Navy Reserve and the Marine Corps. And as an individual in our community continues to serve, Doctor, we can't say thank you to individuals like you enough. And so thank you. You are welcome to come back anytime and be a part of the program. We just barely scratched the surface of your stories and your career today.
Well, thank you, Senior Chief. You're awesome.
You've been listening to Battlefield Expressions. And once again, during this time frame, we are honoring our Vietnam veterans who have served. We're telling their stories. We're making sure that we remember. Remember, coming up March 29th is Vietnam Veterans National Day of Remembrance and Honor. And we thank you to all of our Vietnam veterans and to all of our veterans who serve. Once again, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions.
No matter what the price.